The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We had a nice little four-day holiday break here. Had some special shows Monday and Tuesday. We are back live on Buckmaster. Bill Buckmaster with you on the 27th of December, Wednesday. Tom Fairbanks with us on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. Tom, hope you had a great Christmas.
I did. It was uneventful. My children are spread out from Alaska to Texas.
I know they are. Up in Alaska, they are getting just records amounts of snow. Yes. And you lived up there for many years.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes, I could tell you some stories.
Well, we'll save
the winter time.
We'll save that for another time.
Okay.
All right. End of the year, we like to reflect. And, of course, we look back. We look ahead. Good time to bring in Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond is director of the Eller Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona. Dr. Hammond with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line from the Big Apple from New York City. Dr. Hammond, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk with you. I've got a great connection there with you. Sounds like you're in the next room, which is very good. A lot of buzz about the Tucson economy over the past year. A lot of folks saying we've turned the corner. Yet, Dr. Hammond, the official data is not reflecting that same optimism, is it?
No, it's not. But you want to keep in mind that that official data that we've had so far this year is preliminary data, and there's a higher quality data set that comes out with a 6 to 9 month lag, which is used to actually adjust those preliminary numbers once we get to March of 2018. And that data comes out quarterly, and my center, we actually use that data to get an idea of where the revisions are going to go once we get to March. And that data is suggesting that Tucson has actually been growing fairly strongly so far this year. Through about the first half of the year, we were growing at about the national pace, maybe even a bit faster.
So things are starting to improve, certainly.
Yes, I think we're, but you know, when everything is said and done, 2017 will be at least as good as 2016, maybe even a little better.
Let's go to the live line. One of our longtime listeners and friend of the show, Jim Kelly, has a couple of quick questions. Go ahead, Jim. Hey, Jim, are you with us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead. Give us the summary of your two questions.
Okay, great. Dr. Hammond, I've been reading a lot about your forecast, and one of the things I've not seen addressed is salary compression. And in southern Arizona, particularly Pima County, we experience it in three major areas, and that's law enforcement, education on the public side, and information technology on the private side. Do you see any kind of a breakthrough on the salary compression that we have been experiencing for at least the last 5 years in southern Arizona?
Right. One of the things that we have seen since the end of the Great Recession in 2010 is really slow income growth, and that's been driven primarily by slow wage growth. Initially, I think that was primarily driven by the significant amount of labor slack that we had in the state, particularly relative to the nation, so high unemployment rates. But the unemployment rate in Arizona is now close to the national average, same for what we see here in Pima County. So I think we are seeing compression, but I think it's demographically driven compression at this point. I think part of what we're seeing in terms of average wage growth is retirement of relatively high wage baby boomers who are being replaced by lower paid millennials with less work experience. And I think that's pushing down what we see in the average wage growth. I think if you look at, the wage increases for individual workers, things look a little bit better. But, you know, overall, I think we're going to continue to see relatively slow wage growth going forward as this demographic transition works its way through.
And that takes me into my second question about the demographics, and that is there has been improved wages for many, many demographics, except for one, and that is the 35 to 50-year-old male. Their wages are being compressed. They're not getting raises. They're not growing economically, as the wages of the other demographic groups are actually catching up to where they're at, and in some cases, being paid even more. And is that what's going to be the breakthrough that changes that in Southern Arizona?
Well, certainly that's a major factor going forward. And one of the things to watch, I think, particularly as we think about the long run, is what happens with the educational attainment rates for those younger age groups in Arizona and in Tucson. One of the things that we know for sure is that highly educated people earn more. And what we've seen in Arizona and even in Tucson over the past 20 or 30 years is we've gradually been losing ground to the national economy. You know, in Tucson in particular, the 65 and older age group is relatively highly educated. Most of those, at least the college attainment rate for that demographic is much higher than nationally. But when you look to the younger age groups, the 35 to 44, the 24 to 34 age groups, the college attainment rates are well below the national average. And that's a real concern both for wage growth and for growth in productivity and innovation. And you want to keep in mind that productivity and innovation is what drives wage growth, and that's wage growth that really drives the income gains as we think about the long run.
The housing permit activity did accelerate in Tucson, and actually the single-family home prices in Tucson were up 7.6% over year-to-year. So that's pretty good news for the housing industry, isn't it?
Right. Housing activity in general looks like it was pretty strong in 2017, even according to the official data coming out of the Census Bureau. That's contributing to significant house price appreciation across the state and in the Tucson metro area. I think we're going to continue to see population growth as we look forward over the next couple of years. Our population growth last year was about 0.8%, which was faster than the year before. And it's that population growth that's really going to drive the housing market going forward. And I think we're going to sustain the bit of an acceleration that we've seen so far this year.
You know, there are all these rumored job announcements that we kept hearing about for weeks and actually months. It has created a lot of buzz, but I think one thing we'll look for in 2018 is how much of this is going to be reality, Dr. Hammond.
Yeah, we track those job announcements carefully in the center, and we've been doing so for the past 17 years, and we really noticed an increase in the job announcements, particularly job announcements of employment increase, and the announcements of job decrease have been fairly stable at a low level, and that suggests that the buzz is strong. I think we'll see those jobs materialize in the official employment numbers, but you have to keep in mind that the announcements of job increase, those jobs are typically spread out over a number of years. So it will take time for them to actually show up in the official data.
So what is your forecast then for 2018 for Tucson?
Yeah, I think we're looking for a 2018 that's in the neighborhood of what we saw last year. So that's continued growth somewhere in the neighborhood of the national average. A bit slower than what we'll see for Phoenix or the state as a whole, but really much stronger than the job growth we saw during the kind of 2013 to 2015 period, where our job growth was well below 1%. Our population growth was well below 1%. I think we'll do much better than we have over the past couple of years.
Any red flags, like the merchandise exports from Arizona have been falling?
That's true. We've seen our merchandise exports, and we think Mexican visitor spending is down as well, as far as we can tell from the related indicators. I think that is going to start to pick up over the next couple of years. The dollar, typically the impact of a big appreciation in the dollar, such as we've seen over the past couple of years, tends to have a negative impact on our exports, but that tends to wear off over time, over a period of about 2-3 years, and those 2 or 3 years are about up, so I think we'll start to see our exports stabilize and then begin to grow again, including increases in Mexican visitor spending and overall international tourism spending in the state as we move forward.
And you touched a bit on this during Jim's questions about migration to the state. The population growth has been, there's been a slight uptick, but nothing really sensational in the Tucson area, Dr. Hammond.
No, our population growth last year was about 0.8%. That's better than we've seen over the past couple of years, but it's still below what we're seeing in Phoenix. Put that in perspective, it's about the same as the national pace of population growth last year.
So more of the same, would that be kind of the headline from what I'm hearing you say, Dr. Hammond?
Yeah, 2018 I think will be fairly similar to what we saw in 2017 and 2016, but that's a lot better than we saw during the 2013 to 2015 period.
Dr. George Hammond, always a pleasure. Hope you have a very happy new year. Thank you for your support, and we're really delighted to have you on the program. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much, you too, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dr. George Hammond is heading up the economic research team at the Eller College of Management at the University of Arizona. Why don't I take a moment right here, Tom, to tell our listeners about one of our fine sponsors, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over to that area, and they always come back, Tom, and they say the same thing. They have a great experience. They didn't realize that this area is really, well, first of all, it's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. It's a very different environment over in southwest New Mexico, very historic area, and one of the marquee things to do, the Gila Cliff Dwellings National Monument, one of America's first national monuments, is just north of Silver City. Go to their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for the complete listing of, well, there's probably about two dozen excellent places to stay in the area and a like number of recreation activity suggestions for you at southwestnewmexico.org. We're right at 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. Congressman Tom O'Halloran is scheduled to visit us next on the program.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
The Humane Society of Southern Arizona is currently eighth in the world for the Newman's Own Holiday Challenge. You can help them raise money to support homeless pets and keep them in the top 10 to win additional cash prizes. All the money they raise will go directly toward caring for pets in need right here in our community. Visit hssaz.org/top10 to make your tax-deductible gift and show the world how much Southern Arizona loves pets. That's hssaz.org/top10.
Hey, it's Mark Irvin hanging out here with my pal, Ollie Farhang. Ollie, got one question for you. What time is it?
Woo! It's game time, Arizona. On December 29th at 3:30 p.m., it's the Utah State Aggies versus the New Mexico State Aggies.
Ollie, I understand these teams don't even like each other.
It's been 57 years of bad blood, and we're going to settle it on December 29th at Arizona Stadium.
So, New Year's Eve's coming early to the old Pueblo.
Mark, on December 28th in downtown Tucson, we're going to have the University of Arizona Downtown Block Party presented by Rio Nuevo. And on the 29th, before the game, there's going to be the Desert Diamond Tailgate Festival with neon trees. After the game, it gets even better. You go right back downtown where Flock of Seagulls will be performing at the postgame party.
So where do people get more information?
Go to NovaArizonaBowl.com.
So all the net proceeds of this game go to charities. Isn't that cool?
Cool. It's awesome. And special thanks to our friends at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ali and Mark. We'll see everyone at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is Ken Flower, an Arizona Party Rental production.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. On the live line now, United States Representative from Arizona's 1st District, Democrat Tom O'Halloran. Congressman O'Halloran, how has your holiday season been so far, sir?
It's been great. I hope everybody else's has been, including you, Bill, and I hope everybody has a good New Year.
Well, folks are talking about what happened with the money that was put up by Congress to keep the doors of the federal government open, but at the same time, the folks supporting the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, known as DACA, the so-called Dreamers, that's been kind of back-burnered. How did you vote on keeping the government open?
I voted to keep the government open with the stipulation, obviously, that we renegotiate this between now and January 17th. I think it's imperative that the Democratic Party had run on the entire year, said that we were not going to be responsible to close down government. The Republicans had the votes necessary to keep the government open in both the House and the Senate. In the Senate side, there were 12 Democrats that voted to extend the budget or the continuing resolution, and there were 13 Democrats in the House. I was one of them to continue it. Again, all of us, I believe, that voted that way want to resolve the DACA issue, as do almost every Republican I talk to. I think it's a matter of getting the White House to negotiate in an appropriate way and give a clear signal to the, especially the caucus in the House.
The deadline is very fast approaching, isn't it, on the Dreamers?
Yeah, well, it's in March.
Okay.
But, you know, I think it will be resolved long before then. This is going to be a critical vote coming up, and I think we have much more leverage now than we did before, because everything addressing budgeting has to go through the Senate, and they need 60 votes. And hopefully that type of leverage will allow us to negotiate both the DACA issue and some of the other critical issues facing this country, including some of the cuts to discretionary programs that have been recommended by both the administration and the Republican leadership.
Congressman, President Trump is boasting this tax bill that now is signed into law is the best thing that's happened in many years. I take it you did not vote for the tax bill.
There was not one Democrat in the House or the Senate that voted for it, and I think most of that, I think almost every one of us would have liked to have seen some real reform and some tax cuts that are meaningful to the working families and middle class of America. But the bottom line was that, you know, they had an opportunity here to make the tax cuts permanent for working Americans. And what they did was to make sure they made it permanent for corporate people, but not for middle class, because they had to keep under a $1.5 trillion number of debt. And they could have just as easily said to corporations, we're going to bring you from 20 to 23% or 24%, however the numbers worked out, and then made sure that the middle class of America and the working families were able to get a permanent tax cut. Instead, they did it the other way. And we have to remember the corporations really didn't get that much reform, so they're still going to be able to take advantage of a lot of the loopholes that they had. And so before, the tax rate was 35%, but the effective rate was around 18%, and many corporations paid well below there. Now it's going to be 21%, and the effective rate is going to be somewhere south of 7 or 8%. And so this has not been a tax cut, and these corporations have been flush with cash, and yet they have not been willing to spend it on reinvestment in America, nor have they been willing to spend it on pay raises for the hardworking people of America. And this bill does not bring back jobs from America, and it does not incentivize companies to keep jobs in America, and that's why most of us voted against it.
Where are we after this first year of the Trump administration as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think that we're still in a location where we have to look at people and say, are we going to negotiate from the standpoint of trust? And that we haven't gotten there yet. I mean, when I see people go out and say that the Democrats are being obstructive, I've had many amendments. Almost every Democratic member has had amendments to all these bills, and they've been soundly rejected time after time. We've been trying to participate. We've not been allowed. When we go to meetings at the White House, the next thing you know, we're being told that we're obstructionists. Nobody wants to be an obstructionist. I think we all want to address these issues for the well-being of America, and we're going to have an indication coming up soon on whether it's DACA or infrastructure that let's work together to find a resolution to these issues. I think that's what the American people want us to do.
So you think this narrative that Democrats such as yourself will not work with the Trump administration is false?
Well, I know it's false because I and others are part of bipartisan groups. We have aggressively discussed these issues with various secretaries of the Treasury and Agriculture and Defense. Democrats voted overwhelmingly to make sure that we had a good defense bill come through, and that our military was strong and our soldiers were got the pay raise they believed in, and the veterans got what they needed. I mean, when we're allowed to work with people and are able to be part of the discussion, we've been there. But you can't be invited to the table and then told that you can't talk.
So what's next with this infrastructure we've been hearing about? Is that going to be one of the issues that you and your colleagues are going to have to deal with here in 2018?
Right. I'm looking for what the president comes out with in the administration. The $200 billion number is far short of the $1 trillion number that had been promised. I think part of that is because we cut taxes and there's no money to spend on infrastructure now. And then the other side of that is the need to make sure that rural America and the western United States gets treated fairly. And I haven't seen that yet in any of the recommendations that have been discussed, at least. And we've been making a number of proposals. I'm a member of the Problem Solvers Group, which is a bipartisan group, and we are going to be coming out with our take on what the infrastructure bill should address in I think 2 or 3 days now. And we'll see where that goes. But it does talk about the need to reinforce the needs of rural America in the western United States, especially as it deals with transportation, water, and broadband.
Speaking with Congressman Tom O'Halloran, Arizona's first congressional district. Scott has sent us an email, wants me to ask you about corporations not reinvesting in the past. And Scott points out, didn't AT&T just give its employees $1,000 based upon passing of the tax bill?
Well, I don't think it was based on the tax bill. I mean, I don't know what the PR looks like. but they don't just automatically come up and say, here's $1,000. This has been a well-thought-out strategy by AT&T and a couple others. But there are two corporations that did this out of, you know, thousands of corporations in America. Let's see how this plays out in the long run. I also know that when a bunch of corporate CEOs were asked, were they going to reinvest this money into their corporations and research and development and so forth, three people out of an entire room full of people raised their hands. And the last time this was done during the Reagan administration, most of the money went back into buying back stock and increasing the valuations of the companies, which benefits both the shareholders, which is good, but it also makes sure that the CEOs are kept in their jobs.
All right, Congressman O'Halloran, a happy new year to you. We'll look forward to speaking with you in 2018. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Happy new year to everybody and yourself. Bye now.
Thank you very much. 12:30 now on The Buckmaster Show. What would it be like to be stung by 83 different insects? Not all at once, but over a period of time. We'll be talking with entomologist Justin Schmidt, whose work really has led to the creation of the Schmidt Sting Pain Index. That's next on Buckmaster. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, do your research by reading product reviews, checking BBB.org for business profiles, and compare pricing. Second tip, don't click on links and promotional emails from senders you don't recognize, and watch out for lookalike domains. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit BBB.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, a newsmaker interview with Arizona Secretary of State Michelle Reagan, also the author of a new book, 100 Things to Do in Tucson Before You Die. The program is Buckmaster. We're on noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI, and we're always on buckmastershow.com. Tom, that sounds like the insects are coming. It sounds like there is a swarm.
Rimsky-Korsakov's Flight of the Bumblebee.
Oh, wow, thank you.
That's very appropriate for our next segment here on the Buckmaster Show. Imagine being stung by 83 different insects and living to tell about it. With me in studio is Dr. Justin Schmidt, an entomologist at the University of Arizona. He's also the author of the book, The Sting of the Wild. He was stung 83 different, well, by 83 different insects during his creation of the Schmidt Sting Pain Index. That creation earned him the Ig Nobel Prize in Physiology and Entomology in 2015. He shared that prize with Michael L. Smith, a Cornell University graduate student who was stung repeatedly by honeybees in order to find where the least painful spots on the body are. Dr. Schmidt, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's my pleasure to join you.
And we're also delighted. Let's bring in your wife right now to the studio. This is Lee Schmidt. Lee is going to be later in the half hour actually singing a song about insects. Isn't that correct, Lee?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Oh, it's I've been based in Chinese culture. It's a silk bamboo folk music from a minority country, the part of the country. It's actually a part of the wedding song, and that's the first song I surprised Justin, actually.
Really?
I performed at a formal scientific presentation.
This was kind of the first. You surprised him with this song?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I did it in Sacramento, California, when I first came to this country at a scientific presentation and surprised all the audience as well.
Dr. Schmidt, is Tucson and Southern Arizona a rich area for insects?
Oh, we're an amazing area. You can't get anything better in the U.S.
Really?
Yeah, you talk about, interesting places, Florida and Texas. Nah, they can't hold a candle to us. We really have more diversity of just little things, for example, velvet ants, which are little tiny wasps that are wingless and they run around. We have more species between Cochise and Santa Cruz and Pima County probably than any other state. And they're just incredibly rich, all kinds of different insects that we have in our area.
But it seems counterintuitive because we are living in a desert that it would be so rich for insects.
Yeah, that's the dichotomy. You go to some place like I spent a number of years in southeastern Georgia, and you see lots and lots of insects.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, many of them are the same insects. You may see 10,000 mosquitoes or midges, whereas you come out here and you only see two or three mosquitoes or midges. Wow, sometimes in Tucson I get a few more than two or three mosquitoes. We don't want to go there. But the diversity is what we have such a rich, the carrying capacity is low. We can't have that many absolute insects, but the variety of them we have is just absolutely amazing. And that's what makes it so inspirational to be here. There's just no place better to be in the U.S.
As a child, were you attracted to insects? And was that some of your first insect bites as a child?
Exactly. When I was a little toddler, I remember, you know, we got to run around in the backyard and the parents were pretty permissive. And so, you know, we'd get, for example, we had a wood pile in the backyard and I was watching bumblebees and they were going in and out with a nest there. And, you know, I'm just a little kid. They're pretty, you know, they're yellow and black and fuzzy and very adorable. And I don't know exactly all the details because I was, you know, like 5 years old.
Where was this, by the way?
This was in the Appalachians of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And so it was kind of a nice area to grow up. We had lots of small communities, lots of rural farms and woodlots, and it was just a very diverse area, so it was a wonderful place to grow up.
I remember, Bill.
Yes, Tom, join us here. Tom Fairbanks, our engineer producer, would like to join in the conversation. Go ahead.
What interested me about insects as a child, living in the South as we did in different times, fireflies. I miss fireflies.
Yeah, we had wonderful fireflies in Pennsylvania. That's one thing I do miss here. You can see them if you go to the Chiricahuas and the mid-elevations kind of around 5,000 feet or the Huachuca Mountains, you can sometimes see them, but they're pretty scarce out here, which is kind of a shame because they're a real delight. Every kid, you know, we'd have jars with fireflies. It was just one of the things you do.
Why do we not have them here? Is there something about the climate?
I'm not exactly entirely sure. I think.
Gee, I just stumped Dr. Schmidt.
Oh, that's easy to do.
Oh, no.
I think it's a little bit too dry, and the main thing, they like more moister environments, and the Chiricahuas at 5,000 feet are kind of more moist than we are down here in the Sonoran Desert part.
Now, Lee, what about you? What is it like being married to a bug guy, a guy that loves insects? I mean, before you met him, were you afraid? Many people are afraid of bugs.
Well, I grew up in China, so insects are not very considered the top, except honeybees, though. Honeybees we always really adore. We know how important honeybees are for human life. Mm-hmm. I've never been told to kill a honeybee, but I was told to kill, you know, mosquitoes and flies and cockroaches. And I think the only thing I've been very lucky, I always say he's the king of the sting. I'm the queen of the sting.
The king of the sting. I love it. Speaking of honeybees, got a couple of quick questions about bees. We all know that when a bee stings, it dies, correct?
Exactly.
Right. Now, is that then common in the insect world that when the sting is released, that the insect will die?
No, it's actually very rare. There's about 9 or 10 different wasps, most of which live in Brazil and that sort of area in the Amazon, that do that. Most people think the honeybee is the only one, and honeybee is the only major one that we have in the U.S. If you go way down to the Rio Grande, we have the honey wasp, which is a little wasp, and for about 20 miles north of the border, you can get those. They will also do that. And in Arizona, we have harvester ants.
Mm-hmm.
And the harvester ants that live in Wilcox, if you've ever been around bird watching around the playa, you'll see these huge mounds that almost look like volcanoes. And those harvester ants will actually sometimes lose their sting in you too. And the same thing, once they pull a sting out, well, it's bye-bye, poor insect.
Why do you, and again, I'm just curious. I'm always thinking of the why. Why is there, why the bee, why would the bee die after the sting? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, that was one of the problems that Charles Darwin grappled with when he was coming up with his Origin of the Species and held him off for a number of years. And he said, how can this possibly be benefiting?
Right.
And it turns out he guessed pretty close to the right answer, which is that you of course die, but you know, if you say save five cousins from drowning and you drown, then your family lineage progresses more vigorously than if you'd saved yourself and let all of them die. And so it's really what's kind of a wholesome, you know, benefit for the community. And in case of bees and the ants, it's to preserve mom, because the queen lays all the eggs.
Right.
You know, you're just a mostly sterile worker, and so your life is nothing to your family lineage, but mom's is sure important.
Yeah. So, and again, about bees, we've heard there's this really decline of the honeybee, which really is very scary to a lot of people.
Yeah, that's
the decline of the pollinator. Yeah,
we haven't had much of a problem with that in Arizona, and I think it's partly because we're not a super intensive agriculture area, at least most of it isn't. And the agriculture area puts a big stress on the bees. The neonicotinamide insecticides are really very difficult.
Dr. Schmidt, have the bees population in Arizona been augmented by bees coming up from South America and
these so-called Africanized bees?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing. Africanized bees are much more resistant to, you know, the colony collapse symptoms. And everything we have that's basically feral in the Sonoran Desert part of Arizona is Africanized bees. And they're pretty resistant to all the diseases, the varroa mite, colony collapse. And the only it's only the domestic bees that we have that live in the white boxes that a beekeeper has. And they're the ones that are really taking it in the ear.
All right. We're going to take our pause right here. We're speaking with Dr. Justin Smith, entomologist at the University of Arizona, author of Sting of the Wild. He created the Schmidt Sting Pain Index. Of course, we'll be getting into that. His lovely wife, Lee, is with us. She'll be gracing the Buckmaster Show with an insect song. That is all still to come. 790-2040. If you've got questions, we would love to hear from you. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com want to thank all of the Buckmaster Show listeners for supporting a wonderful holiday season and purchasing so many of the poinsettias. They had originally, to start the season, 25,000, and they really are the poinsettia headquarters in the Southwest. So it was a very successful holiday season. Thank you, Jan and Jack, the owners over there. Want to thank everybody on the Buckmaster Show and all of our fine listeners. Well, again, we are speaking with Dr. Justin Smith. Schmidt, if you're just joining us, he is an entomologist at the University of Arizona, author of Sting of the Wild. He was stung 83 different insects during his creation of the Schmidt Sting Pain Index. His lovely wife, Lee, is with us. She'll be giving us a little bit of a song that is about insects that she sang to Justin when they were really just kind of beginning to date, Lee? You had just been married or what?
No.
No. What? No.
Before that. Before marriage.
Oh, before marriage. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go to KG, who has been waiting on the live line 790-2040. KG's question pertains to scorpions. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. About 40 years ago, I used to hunt scorpions to catch them and sell them in southern Arizona, and I heard about a scorpion in Durango, Mexico, and I had a friend that lived there, and so he brought me up about four or five of them, and they're very poisonous, very venomous, and they had killed about 30,000 people that was registered there in Durango, and Durango's located high up in the mountains like Mount Lemmon, and they were very similar to our bark scorpion. Mm. And very similar to the scorpions we find up in higher elevations. And they're very dangerous. And I just wondered if you ever heard of them.
Yes, in fact, they had very good points. All of what you said was correct. And Durango is kind of the epicenter, if you can so to speak, of dangerous scorpions in Mexico. And it is. It's the same group as our bark scorpion. It's in the genus called Centauroides, which is not all that important that you remember that. But it's a different species than Centauroides sculpturanus, which is ours. I don't remember its exact designation, but it's like a sister species. And yes, they are more potent. The good news is that the Mexicans have done a fabulous job, absolutely fabulous job of making antivenom. And so now there's virtually nobody that dies in Durango due to these. Every clinic, every roadside pharmacy, every anything has this antivenom. And I think it's very cheap, $10 or $20. Mm. You know, it's just amazing stuff.
Let's talk about the Schmidt Sting Pain Index. It's 1 to 4, right? With one being the worst or the least?
No, one is the least.
Oh, least. Okay. So what's a one? Well, give us a one.
Well, one would be if you get stung by a single fire ant. We actually do have fire ants here. Come out and have a picnic in the backyard in July or August, and sometimes you'll get a fire ant or a little tiny sweat bee, something of this sort. It's kind of like a static spark. It's pretty trivial, you know, nothing. You'll get hugs if you're under 5 years old from your mommy, but otherwise you'll just get kind of scoffs.
How about the other end of the spectrum?
You don't want to go there. That's what we have in Arizona. It's called a tarantula hawk. It's this marvelous gunmetal blue-black wasp. It's about 2 inches long, and it often has bright orange flashy wings. I mean, you just look at this thing and you say, oh, my goodness, this is telling me something. It sure is telling you something. Don't mess with it.
Is it a fatal sting?
No. The good news is what they do in their lifestyle is they paralyze tarantulas. And they keep them alive so they have fresh food for their young. Oh. So they're not really lethal. They're not. And us, of course, we have a different physiology, so they don't paralyze us. They just really, really hurt.
Wow. And you've been stung by one?
Unfortunately, yes. More times than I would like.
Oh, my goodness.
And is this what insects have? Is it a venom? Is it like snake venom? Is there any comparison there?
Good question from Tom Fairbanks.
Sometimes they're similar, like the honeybee and the yellow jackets. The social insects are more similar to snake venom because they're actually used, you know, biochemically quite important for defense and sometimes for, you know, catching dinner like snakes do. But the solitary things like the tarantula hawk, they don't live in colonies. They just live, each mom's on her own. And they're more specialized. They're usually interested in paralyzing a prey, so they really are pretty harmless and quite different from, snake or scorpion or spider venoms.
Lee, why don't you join us here with tell us a little bit about what you're going to sing for us.
Yeah, it's a very familiar Chinese folk song. It's called Honeybees and Flowers. Mm-hmm. Basically says is honeybee, 蜜蜂, flower is 鲜花. So when flower blooms, honeybee comes. Flower and honeybees are inseparable. And flower seems to bloom just for the honeybee, and bees just come around the flowers. Mm-hmm. So basically, they're inseparable. It's mm-hmm. a coexistence. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And?
So it sounds like this. 鲜花开放蜜蜂来 鲜花蜜蜂分不开，蜜蜂生来就连鲜花，鲜花为做蜜蜂台。
Very, very nice. You have a beautiful voice. Did you learn that growing up?
Yes, since a little child.
Uh-huh. And so you were taught that song as a child, and so you've sung it your whole life.
Yes, and for the children, we go to libraries.
What can we do, Dr. Schmidt, to avoid being stung?
The main thing to do is not to antagonize them. As I tell people, the two things that really stimulate insects to sting you are bad breath, in other words, just breathing. So don't blow on a bee, or if you're near a colony of honeybees or something and the one's buzzing you, or any insect's buzzing you, I say hold your breath. You can hold it for 20, 30 seconds and then kind of walk away, which gives you a big gap of time for safety. And the other thing is don't flap, because the senses that are used by stinging insects to detect somebody that's dangerous, like you or me, we're considered dangerous by them, is that we smell bad, our CO2 and our breath and our odor.
Mm. And that freaks them out.
Exactly. and we move. Mm-hmm. We flap and move. Yes. So if you take away their two senses, then they are much more calm and they don't realize that there's a threat. And meanwhile, you can kind of quietly sort of escape, which is always nice to do.
Yeah. Dr. Schmidt, where can we get the book, The Sting of the Wild?
Yeah, I think we can get it. Of course, you can get it online with Amazon, but Antigone Books carries it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Barnes & Noble carries it. And also the University of Arizona bookstore covers it.
And it's kind of like your biography, isn't it? But your travels all over the world?
It's a little bit biographic, a little bit storytelling, uh-huh. a little bit natural history. And I like to get some history of interesting people in there. I talk about some physicians and some bee people and just colleagues of mine. And it's just kind of really fun. It was really fun to write and really fun to, you know, kind of relive, you know, what I was doing.
Dr. Justin Smith, thank you very much. The book, The Sting of the Wild, Lee, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
And I really loved your song. It's like a New Year's gift here on the Buckmaster Show to hear you do that song. Very much appreciated. All right, coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson, the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition. Already Thursday, right? Okay, tomorrow, noon to one. On behalf of Mr. Tom Fairbanks, my friend, engineer, producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.